I want tonight to remind everybody that we're going to have a after services, after announcements, we're going to have a go take a short time and talk about our list of 10 names, and we're going to update that. That's weird. There's a ghost in the machine. Anyway, we're going to talk about that. How about that? I'm sure that's my fault somehow. But a preview of what I'm going to say about the 10 names before we get into our next slide here is yesterday I did a funeral for a family, a Haggard family, down in where again? Iredell. And he grew up there, and I think the family was from there. Anybody know the Haggard family from that area? I think they probably moved off, and he moved back or something, and he died there. But he grew up in the church a long time ago. And the family was, well, I don't think they were a church family. But the stories they were telling and how they kind of cared themselves. But anyway, I was going to let y'all know, if anyone knows the Haggard family from that area, you might keep it in mind and write them down. If no one knows them, that's fine. But keep that in your memory. I want to have this slide behind you. Y'all know the name Jared Clower, don't you? He was a part of the Grand Ole Opry for lots of years, and some of y'all may have heard his comedy routines. And he wasn't a comedian. He was a fertilizer salesman from Mississippi. He was the kind of guy, though, that could tell a story and have a whole group of come around him and hear stories. And so at some point, someone told him, said, "Hey, you should probably be recorded because you're really funny." I remember Lyndall Mitchell, who's a friend of mine, older than me, but he's a college preacher, one of my favorite preachers. Lyndall said that he went to school with his oldest child, Ray. And Ray was a football player in Mississippi, and Lyndall grew up in Mississippi, and he was in college at the same time. And so they said one of his favorite things was they were in dorms together, Lyndall and Ray, and one of the first things, one of the favorite things was that Jerry would come to school and check up on Ray, and Ray would, then Lyndall, oh, who, Jerry, I slept today, guys, he would go ahead and be down in the main room of the dorm, and the whole dorm would come down and hear him tell stories. And so I remember that. One story he told, though, the reason I tell this is the sermon idea for tonight came from Jerry Clower. Jerry Clower tells a story on one of his records, and I have a Jerry Clower playlist on Apple Music. And so when I go walk or something, I'll let my playlist come up, and I have one that's Jerry Clower telling stories, which kind of gets me around the walking track a couple times. He tells a story, though, how they had four kids, the first one Ray, the last one Amy. But Amy was what they call out of due season. And so Ray was nearly grown, about to go to college, when they found out Amy was on the way. And so he tells a story how they were kind of worried about Ray finding out about his mama having another child when he's nearly grown and how that would affect him and what he thought about it. In a Jerry Clower fashion, I can't represent that. I can't do that, so I'm not going to try. But he said, tells a story about it. He quoted the verse we're going to talk about tonight. And he said, Ray found out, I guess, somehow, and before they told him, and he came through the door and busted through the door and said, "Groovy." And so that was a story about Jerry Clower, who would tell stories when Lyndall Mitchell went to college in Mississippi. Now, the idea is giving of thanks. This comes from a verse that's all through the Bible. You all know that, but this is from Ephesians 5:20. And Ephesians 5:20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." This verse, this small verse, has a lot of stuff packed into it. And this sermon, I would look back and wink at Jody at this point, because it's not going to be a long sermon, but it might give you a few things you want to write down or think about this verse, because it's a good verse. We're to give thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, number one, who's to give thanks? Now, at this point, you could argue that every human being should be thankful for other things in their life, and you're right about that. But this verse talks about, it refers back to the first part of the book, where it's talking to God's children. The followers of God should be people who are thankful, who are grateful, and because of that, they have a certain air about them. Not always grumpy, not greedy, but people who are just thankful for God's blessings in their lives. So when we wake up, we might have aches and pains. We might have bad stuff that happens to us. Everybody, that's true. Everybody. Thing is, we as a people should be followers of God. We should be thankful for all things. And who is that? That's God's people especially. One thing we have to talk about, we talk about evangelism and how important that is. It is very important. But if you're the kind of person that's always got a sour face or always upset or running people down, no one will want to study with you. So those that are having an impact on our community and people around them by trying to do Bible studies and things like that have to be the kind of people who are good people and also people that are thankful. People that are people that have something that when others want to share with them their lives and the gospel, that those are the people who are being shared with think, hey, this person has something, I want that. I want to be more like this person. That has to be, that's almost an essential part of it. Now, can there be a person who hears a sour face say something that's true and say, I want to know more about that? That can happen, but that's very rare. Very rare. So, again, who's thankful? Those that are followers of God. Now we're going to talk about the what. The what of being thankful. Talking about the subject of giving thanks. So, not just being thankful, but giving thanks. That means it's seen by other people, right? Again, that this indicates something that other people can see about it, see about us, see in our manner of life, seeing the things we do, that people see us as thankful people. People not expecting something. People not offended if we don't get some kind of deference or some kind of, some people you got to praise them all the time unless they feel like they're being, other people being rude to them. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people seeing in us an air of thanksgiving, an air of thankfulness, and thus an air of humility that we appreciate all the blessings in our lives. As we talked about briefly this morning, we live at one of the best times in history. Really. You think about our, in comparison to the rest of the world, we talked about how our dollar may be crashing. This world may change very quickly over the next several years. But at this time in history, we are the blessed, most blessed people in history as a people. Right time, right place. Right now, we're in a period between wars, at least on American soil, right? Or at least fighting at wars actively. And so we are so blessed with the peace, prosperity, the right to worship who we choose, how we choose is this time in history. It's what we have here. From everything I've read, from everything I've seen, this is a very rare thing. And that alone should make us be thankful. We're not under Roman rule where we're slaves. We were forced to do things that are immoral or wrong or else we'll be killed or beaten severely. No, no, no. We have jobs. We have families who love us. We're raised in a time, again, where we have saved our lives more than most people in the history of the world. That's by itself is amazing. That's the what. How about the when? The when is always. Now, we, again, all have days that are grumpy days because we're human beings and we have things that pop up. We have things at work and family or just things in general where we get grumpy. Sometimes you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, don't you? I do sometimes. And I have to be reminded somehow that I should be a better person or be thankful or appreciate things more than I do. We all have that. We all have that. And maybe we have a bad day and we say something we shouldn't or get mad about something we shouldn't. At some point we kind of realize, hey, I shouldn't be that way. Look at my life. Yeah. One thing I've been able to do I know you've been in the hospital a couple times since I've been here, and and things were unexpected. Of course, most hospital visits are unexpected, right? Right, that's how they are. And I know I had time to think about it when they're running tests and trying to figure out how to fix me. And one thing I was able to do in a hospital bed was think, man, I've had a great run. I know in the hospital bed, I was thinking, I want to live longer than I do. I want to see my grandkid grow up, grandkid right now, get on it, Dave. A grandkid grow up and be older, and I want to see that happen, you know. But my life, I'm very grateful for it. I had, again, great time in history, great family, able to preach the gospel among people who I've had mostly very good relationships with, and that's very fantastic. So give thanks always, even in your hospital bed. Reflect on your life and be able to give thanks for all your blessings, because there are so many. The very fact that we have a hospital bed to get into, right, have people take care of us, that alone is a big deal, right? The fact we live in a time where we can have drug dealers down the road that give us drugs to help us be healthy again, right? That's the idea. We have so many things that can help us be healthy and stay healthy. Is fantastic. So give thanks when always. Now, for what? Now, this is the most tricky part of the verse, in my opinion. Give thanks for what? All things. All things. Even surprises that when you're 40 years old, you're about to have another baby, in Jerry Clara's instance. In fact, I think they were their early 40s, maybe mid-40s, and when they found out they were having another child, and that was wow, right? I know when we were young, we just got married, or about to get married, there was someone in the church, Utopia. How old was she? 42. Found out she was having a baby. That make you pull out your hair, wouldn't it? Ladies? Gentlemen? Really? Having a baby at 42. But you know what? It's a blessing. Be thankful for all things. God says children are a blessing. While it wasn't expected, it was certainly something to be grateful for. And so all things in our lives, even the bad things that we don't think about at the time, that we'll be thankful for, even the bad things shape us to who we are now. Isn't that true? Can you think back in your lives of something at the time you thought was a horrible thing? It struck you as a very negative, bad thing, but it shapes you in who you are today. Hardship of some kind, a bad news of some kind, make you in some way, if you stay with God, remember Romans 8, chapter 1, verse 2, says what's Romans 8, 1, 2 say? What's Romans 8:1 say? Somebody. You're a woman. Don't talk. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah. 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 No, thank you for that. The idea is that we have to walk according to the flesh, be in Christ, and walk according to the flesh, not by the Spirit, or by the Spirit, not by flesh. Sorry. So the idea there is that in all things, as long as we are in Christ Jesus and we are living faithfully, all things work out for good for those that love God. Even the bad things at the moment, they can make us be more faithful and shape our lives in such a way where we're more blessing to other people. And we can even those things, we can look back with a little bit of hindsight and be thankful for. I can do that. You can do that, right? The things in my life that happened to me that I thought were bad led me here. So even the things where you're like, I don't know about that, we learn from, we grow from, it makes us more wise for the future, and that's fantastic. So be thankful for what? All things. Now, where? Where be thankful? And I was talking about thankful toward whom, and that is to God, the Father. When we have blessing in our lives, we can thank ourselves for our hard work and labor, or just we can thank dumb luck, because Solomon says time and chance happens to them all in Ecclesiastes. Or we can think, well, listen, I'm a child of God. God made me. God made all things. And the things God gives me and blesses with are ultimately, I should thank God for that. Now, are we blessed by principles in our lives which promote goodness and hard work and all those things? And do we sometimes just get lucky? Sure. But Paul says, this comes by way of Paul through Jerry Clower, right? But we can be thankful always for everything unto God, the Father, ultimately, he's whom all through all blessings flow. Right? All the things in our lives, even the health we have, the will we have to do good things comes from God. The health we have, the opportunity we have in America, we talk about being in America at this time, in this place, comes from God. The fact you're here comes from God's blessings. And so all we have, all we do, all we're blessed with, even the bad things that come our life, we don't see blessings at first, are things we're thankful to whom or where. We're thankful to God, the Father. Now, how? How are we thankful? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. While we're thankful to God, we're thankful to or whom or through whom in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the name of is a phrase which you know means by his authority. Now, I know that phrase can mean different things, but oftentimes in your Bible, in the name of can often be translated by someone's authority. So, we thank the Father, how? Through Jesus. Now, when it comes to prayer, we go back to Romans 1, verse 8, talks about prayer a bit. But we pray to the Father, through who? Through the Son, Romans 1, 8. And, of course, that happens by the Spirit. So, the Spirit tells us how to pray. But we actually have access to the Father by means of the Son. Now, think about how that works. There are a few places in the Scripture which includes all three members of the Godhead in a certain act. One is creation, where we're told in creation that God commands and the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. But we're told in John chapter 1, go back to Genesis 1, that it's Jesus Christ who was a creative force making all things. So I know it's been often described this way, that God was the power, the command, and the Spirit was the architect, but actually the Son was the actual one who made the creation himself. So, and there are some things like that in the Bible, which all three show up at one point or one time. And once creation, of course, you have the cross, you have certain parts of Jesus' life where you have the Father speak and then the Spirit comes down like a dove when it comes to Jesus' baptism, things like that. But this is also one of those things where in prayer we talked about how it tells us how we pray to the Father through the Son, by means of the Spirit teaching us how, and then he makes groans for us, or when our spirit groans, he makes intercession for us when it comes to translating our prayers to God as we should, as God designed. So while we can't sometimes find the words, Romans says that when we are so crushed by a bad thing and we don't really have the words to pray like we should, sometimes we're not really eloquent enough, sometimes we're just so bad, so down, that when we try to pray to God, even when we're so down and so depressed, and you're so unknowing how to do it, that's when the Spirit makes intercession for us to the Father. So we have this idea of we give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, it's through him we pray, right? And this is a thing where I know it comes up sometimes. I know on Facebook there was a big question this last week among some preachers. Well, we need to pray to the Holy Spirit. And while all of the Godhead deserves praise, is that true? If you're God, do you deserve praise? Yes. Did Jesus receive praise? He did. Did God receive praise? He did. And if the Holy Spirit's part of the Godhead, and he is, then we should also, the idea of praising the Holy Spirit's a good idea. You know, we sing songs that sometimes address the Spirit in the way of praising him. That's fine. But when it comes to things specifically, we're told in Romans 1:8 to pray to the Father, right? By Jesus, and of course that's the means of the Holy Spirit teaching us how to do it. So while when God gives specifics, we should care enough to follow those, shouldn't we? Right? How we praise God, how we obtain salvation, how we live our lives, we do it the way God says. So if God doesn't specify, that's fine, and we should praise all part of the Godhead. But here we're told in Romans 1:8 and other verses that we pray to the Father through the Son, of course, by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. So that's very important. If God gives us that information, we should follow it and appreciate God's plan. So we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and thank God for that access, because we don't have to go through a priest. One thing we have today that's pretty amazing is in the Old Testament, they had to go through priests to sacrifice. And that was the only way you could do it properly. And the priesthood played a very important role in their everyday life. But we live in a time under the law of Christ today where we're all priests. We're a royal priesthood, Peter says. And so we go to God directly, or as directly in the sense we go through Christ still. We pray in Jesus' name by his authority. But because of Jesus Christ, the great high priest, we have access to God. And so that is the biggest blessing. I'm sure being a child of God's always had its challenges. But I can't imagine having to sacrifice an animal, having to drain its lifeblood. It slit its throat, basically, and then watch that happen, watch the animal bleat and cry and moan, and then have to do that through a priest. But remember, the law of Moses and the law of Moses had a very bloody aspect to it to remind them of the horror of their sin. But Leviticus is very clear. When they gave an animal for sacrifice, when they gave a lamb or a cow a sacrifice, the person's hand would be on the animal when then the priest slit his throat. Why? That's horrible. To remind people what sin really cost. So when you were, and this was ceremonial, so it wasn't just I committed a very bad sin. That would also be a sacrifice. If you had a problem come up in your life and you had a sacrifice, but the idea was you were there with the priest. And the priest may have said some words and was at a special place for the blood to drain, things like that. But you were there, your hand was on the animal, and you saw it bleed and moan because of your sin. That's horrible, but it's meant to remind us, again, what our sin's really like in the eyes of God. And so when it came to Jesus, he was the last sacrifice. He was the great sacrifice which washed our sins away, which is fantastic. But the pain of it, we talked about this morning, we don't really talk about the cross that much, and I've yet to preach a sermon ever, I think, which really encapsulates all the horror of the cross. We talk about it once in a while, but we should be so thankful through Jesus for what he did for us, because all the bad stuff we've done was paid for with a horrible price and paid for by God's only begotten Son, his Son. Not his goat, not 1,000 animals, but by God's only Son. That's so humbling. We should be so thankful that that's even possible. Why? Why give thanks? Well, we go to verse 2 of Ephesians 5. We give thanks and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. There we go. That Christ has given himself for us. That's why we worship. That's why we are thankful. Again, we just talked about the sacrifice made on the cross for us. I kind of got ahead of myself there a bit. Please forgive me, but why? I mean, what's the foundation of it? Why should I obey God? Why should I even care? Why should I come to church? Why should I be a good person? Why should I love my brother, my sister? Why should I evangelize? Why should I give to the church? Why should I sing songs? Why should I prepare lessons to help encourage people and grow in the Bible and grow in God's Word? Why even bother? Because of Jesus. That's always the answer. Because of Jesus. Because Jesus, and this part still amazes me. Every time I think about it, it amazes me. The God took the form of a man to come to earth to live perfectly. Now, look at that. He lived perfectly. He lived sinlessly. He suffered the most brutal death you could. We talked about that this morning. But he came down and, remember the story of the fig tree? Why he cursed the fig tree? Because he was hungry. Now, Jesus cursed that tree because he was hungry and it should have had leaves, it should have fruit, didn't have fruit, so he cursed it. Because it was pretending, you know. But Jesus came down, he experienced hunger and cold and solitude and being overwhelmed by crowds. Did all that so I could have salvation, but he came down to experience these things. In the form of God, he experienced it. So I know that it's not the same thing at all, but we sometimes go to zoos and see how animals live. Imagine if you could somehow take the form of an animal and live as an animal, or maybe even an ant or a bug. I'm going to live as a bug. Now, we can't do that. That's crazy. But God became flesh, immortal, eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful God, took the form of a servant as a fleshly person, and then did it to show us that it can be done. So when I face hardships and hard times and are angry or unthankful, I can look to Jesus and say, look, God proved you could do it. God proved you could avoid temptation. God proved you could overcome these things. Now, I've never done it. No human ever will perfectly. But Jesus, as Paul says, is our example, our perfect example. And so Paul even said, follow me as I follow Christ. Right? So God gave us an example through Jesus, who suffered all these things, worked hard, got up early, went through all the things, suffered. He was tempted in all points as we are and overcame every one. That's amazing. That's encouraging. And friends, for that, I will ever be thankful. And know that I can do it too if I just repent of my sins and keep going and get strong and get better. That is our lesson tonight about giving thanks. And while Jerry Clower didn't say all that, you can thank Jerry Clower about the idea. I still remember him quoting this verse. We give thanks for all things, and even talking about having a baby at 42 years old, 43, 44, whatever they were. I hope in some way this can help us understand how we can have the thought of Paul, who said in Romans chapter 1, verse 14 through 18, he says, I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Why? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So when we have opportunity, it's a funny thing, though. I think we have opportunity when you don't really expect it. We may have our plans of what we want to do and how we want to reach people. But it's kind of like this Haggard family that I never heard of, you never heard of. You know, one thing I tried to do, and it was just a graveside service. It wasn't a church service. It wasn't a funeral home. It was just graveside. But I'm like, I'm not going to preach them a whole sermon, but I can't leave these people out there hearing any Bible. Right? I'm not just going to get up and read an obituary. I got to say something. You know, what do you tell people who have no idea? Just dad was in the church for a while when he was a baby, and now they were going to have his funeral, and the daughter remembered that he had a few years in the church. He was kind of identified that way for a while before he went off and lived a very different life. So you never know when these chances will come to impact someone in some way. Again, maybe it's just you being a grateful and thankful person. People sit in your life and they're drawn by that a bit, so you have more influence over them because they see your life, they like your life. Or maybe it's just you have a chance to talk to somebody at a funeral or a graveside where you can give someone at least something to talk about, some idea of, hey, this reminds us to be ready for our eventual passing and how God's a good God and we should listen to him, we should try and follow his word to have a better life and have a life hereafter if we die in Christ and are faithful. And if you're a preacher at a graveside talking to people very not religious, you got to figure that out, Kenneth. You got to figure out how am I going to do this exactly, which is the way that's profitable for them and not make them want to, you know, I guess I'm a big guy. I'm not really worried about being hurt or anything, but how do you do that exactly? It's hard to do, even for a preacher, to say, how am I going to do this exactly? Because here tonight, I have no fear or no worry or no anxiety about preaching to you here, because I know you're here because you want to serve God and love God, and you're here with people, your friends and family you've been with for a long time. You're very comfortable here. There's no worry inside these walls. But opportunity comes in strange times and strange places. And let's remember that we have the chance to, for anything because of Jesus Christ, what he did for us. And we have the blessing and the wonderful opportunity to teach people something about God to make their physical lives here better. And that's a point. I don't like to make that point a big thing, because our hope should be toward heaven, always toward heaven. That's our long home, the Bible calls it. But those Bible principles can make our lives so much better on this earth. They can make us happier, healthier, make our relationships better if we live God's principles here, make our jobs better, make our lives more profitable, make our lives richer in so many ways if we apply these things here and now. And look at people's lives, how much their lives are just off in a train wreck. And sometimes that's random. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, and just that's how it works out. But how many times our lives are made more complicated because of our own bad decisions that somehow involve greed or bad motives or anger or pain? Lives are made better. Lives on earth are made better when we take God's principles and palm to these eternal principles and palm to our lives, that we may be more as God would have us to be. So that's our lesson tonight. I hope it's been helpful in some way to you to help us all be more what? Be more what? Grateful, giving thanks for all things. And again, you can thank Jerry Clare for that. By the way, he wasn't a preacher, but he was a lay preacher. Which is what the Baptists say, for if you're not called by God to be pastor, be given, give talks once in a while. I don't endorse his religion or those things, but he would actually, one of the places he gave talks a lot was in churches. So I guess he would come do a sermon and give like a very funny talk, and it wasn't really a sermon, but it was kind of a talk about general things, about morality and being a good patriot, things like that. But that's not what we do here. But the idea of trying to take what this gift of Gab and share it, what he knew was, what he thought was a good way to good folks to encourage them, is also a good thought. If you have a need tonight to respond to the invitation in some way, you want the prayers of the Christians, or want to let us know what's going on in your life in some way, or you'd like to be restored if need be, If you have a need tonight, would you please come as we stand and sing this hymn?
Jesus is pleading, oh, listen to his voice. Hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
Be seated. Does anyone need to take the Lord's Supper? Anyone here need to take the Lord's Supper? We'll have the announcements.
Forgive me for this, but who remembers Jerry Clower's wife's name? Trust me. Homerlene. Homerlene. Yeah, all right. Remember Erlene. Sorry about that. All right. Now, I want to ask, understand that anything we talk about, when we talk about our 10 names, and maybe changes have happened, maybe we could reach out. There's a couple things about this. Number one, I know briefly, Brett and I were talking about it, and we all send cards up privately, but a few times we did it as a group, and if you'd like to do that, if you want to send out cards privately, when we get Black in the Bulls, we have a few people to send cards to try and encourage them. That's great, fantastic. But if you would like to sometimes do this as a group, if we can have like a larger list of people, that's for the elders to consider if they want to do that or not. But I know if we did it a few times here. We met after church and did that. So we could do that once in a while, or maybe once a month or something, if you want to get together and we have a bigger list of people we can send the cards to. So this is for people to encourage in some way, pray for them. But if there's someone, is there someone on your list of 10 names that maybe something has changed we can pray for or send a card to, encourage them in some way? Now, this will not be in the bulletin or the newspaper. This is for us to know. Now, if you want in the bulletin, you can put it in the bulletin. But don't worry about any of the information you share here tonight about your 10 names. It's not going to go in the public way. But is there anyone you want to talk about? Yes, ma'am. Was this a long study, went on for a long time?
A few weeks, yeah.
Okay. All right. So hopefully you'll consider, you'll go further with that. Yes, ma'am?
I'm studying with Fran and Big Adam, and she's having some health issues.
Oh, really?
She's a little bit worried about, but like, I don't think she wants a whole lot of people to know about it, but if everybody can just pray for them.
All right. Maybe we shouldn't send cards to her because she would know something is up.
Yeah,
okay.
Prayers.
Very good, very good. Anyone else on your list? Anybody, would you have a... And again, this could be just a friend that could use encouragement. Need be, but let's remember these people on our list. Let's pray about them. Let's take the names out of our Bible every day. When you do your daily Bible reading, hope you do that. Let's put the card in our Bibles with these names on them and then you could just look it out and go over it in your head and see, oh, pray for these people by name and pray for God to give us an opportunity. And that's very important because those things come up at really odd times, right? Ways to reach people for Jesus comes up at times that aren't very convenient for us. That's where Paul told Timothy, you're ready to preach the gospel when? In season and... That's a Greek turn of phrase, which means when you're ready, when you're not ready. Always be ready. So. Anything else? Do you have a closing prayer or am I the closing prayer? Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this day, Father. Thank you for the teaching of your word about being grateful and how we're to do that and why we're to do that, Father. Thank you for all the blessings you give us, Father, every day. Thank you for this group of saints here tonight. Father, help us to encourage each other. We're so grateful for the lives represented here and those that would be here if they could, Father.
thank you so much for our church family, which gives us hope and encouragement, Father, that points us always farther to you and to Jesus Christ, who has prepared for us a home in heaven one day. Father, help us be ready when that day comes. Help us be ready when that day comes when we will no longer have an anchor on this earth, but just hope toward heaven, Father. We're thankful for those, Father, who received their health back or they had problems and going through hard things right now. And Father, if there are those who've lost part of their health, help them to be thankful and remember and be thankful for the health they have, and that itself is a blessing. Thank you for the doctors and lawyers and all the things, not lawyers, but Father, thank you for the doctors and everyone who helps us get better, Father, and thank you for the lawyers too, Father, who can help us live good lives and bring us back to health. And we're so thankful, Father, for those who've come in here in the past and preached and taught and encouraged and evangelized, Father, so the church is still here today, Father. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Even the lawyers.